Officially 1 hour until your favorite show premieres. Time to get some snacks delivered through Instacart. Okay, let's get some popcorn, seltzer, chocolate-covered almonds, and... Wait, did they release the whole season? Better cart some ice cream for the two-part finale. When your day should be ending but a new season is starting, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention, please, passengers, fasten your seatbelts. We are about to experience a blizzard of free money.
That's right. Deposit a couple hundred bucks into your BetUS account and get into the action with $450. That's $250 more dollars than you started with. I know. Crazy, right? Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Live from the play show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of The Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Producing this extravaganza today for the next 4 hours is Nick Theodoro. Is Hickey, I guess. He has the most vacation days out of anyone I've ever met. It's crazy. I don't know how he has unlimited vacation days, but I felt like he just took a vacation. And right after the Super Bowl, kid shows up 2 days late because he was faking food poisoning and is only there for 3 days on a vacation for him working at the Super Bowl. And I get told while we're at the Super Bowl, yeah, by the way, I'm not going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. And I go, okay, nice to give me an ample amount of notice. That's fine. Like, you know, I wasn't on the vacation dock or anything. And I didn't even, if he didn't say anything to me Thursday at the Super Bowl, I would have no clue that he was out this week. No offense, Nick. I didn't even know you were working this show. No one told me who was producing this extravaganza until this morning.
He didn't tell you yesterday?
No, he didn't tell me. I got a text from you. I knew he was out. And I was wondering, okay, when I'm going to find out who's going to be producing.
I didn't want to bother you yesterday because you're in the middle of doing your show.
Well, that's fine. No, you reached out in an ample amount of time. I was actually happy that you reached out to me this morning because I woke up today and I said, who the heck is producing the show? And then the next thing you know, about 10 minutes later, ding, text from Nick T. That's what you are on my phone. Because when I first met you many years ago, I had no clue how to spell your last name. And when I was sending you an email before the show, I think you realized I think in the right ballpark.
No, yeah, it was pretty good.
So spell your last name for me one more time.
T-H-E-O-D-O-R-O-U.
Yeah, I thought it was Theodora.
Three O's and a U.
Yeah, I thought it was O-R-A. So
a lot of people think that. They've called me Theodora, you know.
Yeah, gotcha. Stuff, yeah. So the back end of your name was a little bit difficult to spell, but it's all good. We're here until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. The show will go on. Our pal, Lijay Duzabal, will join us coming up in an hour from now. Here's why I want to start the show. And it's very fitting that a man from the previous show just walked into the producing studio. And that is the great Stuart Kovacs, who, unfortunately, when he was picking who the heck he was going to root for to be a football fan, for some reason, I don't know why, he elected to pick, at the time, the Oakland Raiders, who are now the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders, they have been bad for most of Stu's life, but this past year was a big-time tease because they had a good season in very adverse circumstances a year ago. And then this offseason, you go out and you get Derek Carr, or you go out and get Devontae Adams, and you're thinking Derek Carr and the Raiders with Devontae Adams, You got Josh Jacobs. You also have Darren Waller. You have Hunter Renfrow. I know Waller and Renfrow were hurt. We're going to be able to go on the field this year. And even though they're in a tough division, they would be able to make the playoffs. And very early on, you knew that this Raiders season was going to be a disaster. When you bring in a new GM, you bring in a new head coach, and they have no attachment to the quarterback, and also McDaniels, say what you want about him as a head coach, he is a brilliant offensive mind in this league, and now McDaniels wants to go on out there and get his guy. Here's the thing that I will say, as we found out the other day, you knew it was going to a divorce, that was clear, but Carr now being released from the Raiders, and Carr wasn't going to accept the trade. I saw the Saints game calling, and he still may go to the Saints. That's where I do believe Carr will wind up next. But when you look at the Raiders' next step, this is the conversation now that I want to delve into. If they're going out there and they're bringing in Jimmy G, nothing against Jimmy G. He's a game manager. He's a little bit above a game manager. He's won a lot of games in this league. He's hurt every other year. It makes zero sense to me to get rid of Derek Carr if your grand plan this year, or the end result, regardless of what the plan is if you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't give a rat's ass that him and Josh McDaniels know each other. You cannot move on from Derek Carr, who I'm not the biggest fan of, and bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. You could argue that it may not even be an upgrade, but I don't think it's a big enough move where I go, okay, I could see what McDaniels was doing getting rid of Derek Carr. And I'm not even knocking the move of getting rid of Derek Carr, because I've been told Derek Carr could be a franchise quarterback. I've been told it's put up or shut up for years with Derek Carr. And whenever Derek Carr starts to appear that he's just on the cusp of being welcomed into the fraternity of being a top 10 quarterback in this league, he takes about three or four steps back and he falls on his face. And you saw that this year. He's not a bad quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. Do I ever think Derek Carr is ever going to win anything of significance in this league? No. So I get why you are moving on from Derek Carr, but if the big plan or the end result is to bring in Jimmy G, I don't think it was worth getting rid of Derek Carr. So the one name you have to swing for and the one name you have to get is Aaron Rodgers. Because that is a move, even though Rodgers had a bad year this year, and you could talk about the injury, he played bad this year at the quarterback position for Rodgers' standards. But do I think Rodgers is about to fall off a cliff? Do I think Rodgers is now not a quarterback that you wouldn't covet? Absolutely not. Because we saw a few years ago when the Packers didn't really believe in him that much longer, and they wanted to set up his future replacement in Jordan Love, and they aggressively traded up to go get Jordan Love when there really wasn't a market in the first round to go not only draft him, but then trade up to go get the services of Jordan Love. And if I'm a Raiders fan, say what you want about how Rodgers could be a pain in the ass. The guy is a heck of a football player. You may not win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, but if you're Josh McDaniels, you have to go save your job. And if you go bring in Aaron Rodgers, and I know, right, you just saw the Broncos bring in a big-name quarterback and it didn't work, it would be tough to sit here on national radio, regardless of what you think of Josh McDaniels, and not pick the Raiders to, at bare minimum, make the playoffs. Because if you reunite Rodgers with Adams, and we had Josh Jacobs on Radio Row, and he talked about how he wanted to be a Raider, but he also wants to get paid. I also think down deep he knows he's most likely going to get franchise tag. But even he said, if they go get Aaron Rodgers, like, that's a team that you're going to definitely want to be a part of in the Las Vegas Raiders, paraphrasing a little bit, but that was basically the gist of what he said. And if you can go out there, and we'll see if Waller and Renfrow, if they bring them back, or maybe they trade them this offseason, but if you could form a team with Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers throwing the football, Aaron Rodgers handing the ball off to Josh Jacobs, and you also bring back a Darren Waller, and he's still a part of your plans, that's a team that on offense, I know you got to fix the offensive line. I know there's mega concerns on the defensive side of the ball, but that's a team that should win 10, 11 games in this league, even in a division where you have the great Patrick Mahomes. You have Justin Herbert, who I really do enjoy watching him playing quarterback. I know Sean Payton is the coach of the Denver Broncos now, but I don't know still what the ceiling is for a Russell Wilson in this league anymore after last year's disastrous season. That is a Raiders team that I think and I know you can make the postseason with if they go on out there and they get Aaron Rodgers. But if you're just moving on from Carr and you're bringing in a mediocre quarterback or a quarterback that doesn't provide a lot of excitement and exuberance like a Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't expect that team to turn it around and ever be successful under Josh McDaniels. You need a big established name in this league, and Rodgers is that. Now, if you could find a way to go draft a quarterback, that's a different conversation. But I think there's some complexities there, especially when you look at the top of the draft and how it's going to be easier for other teams to go on out there and acquire a player like a Bryce Young or a player like a C.J. Stroud. And those are two quarterbacks that I do think have bright futures in this league. And I know the Raiders are drafting at 7, so it's not impossible for them to move up. But it is easier for, let's just say, you know the Texans are taking a quarterback. You're going to have to move up from, let's say, 7 to 3 or 7 to maybe even 1 to go get that quarterback. Because you're going to have to jump one of the Colts or the Texans. And if the Texans move up to 1, and let's say the Bears fall back to 2 and take a player, then you got to go trade with the Cardinals at 3. Because you know Stroud and you know Bryce Young are probably going to be the two quarterbacks, the first two quarterbacks taken off the board. And the Texans and Colts are waiting to pounce. So actually remembering where the Raiders are, it's not impossible to move up in the draft because they are sitting there at 7. But you do have teams in front of you that I think are hungrier to find that young quarterback in the Texans and the Colts. And not only that, they're already in front of you. And also, they have coaches, D'Amico Ryans, and then Frank Reich just got replaced by Shane Steichen, where there's going to be some patience there. Where when you're the Raiders, if you have a bad season this year, I don't know if Josh McDaniels is going to get to see year number 3. So are you going to want to go to a young quarterback where you never know what year 1 is going to bring for a rookie quarterback? So when I look at this potential market for Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers getting traded, and I do think that's the direction that we're going. And right now, from all the early reports, if the Packers do trade Aaron Rodgers, they're not going to consider an NFC team. Right now, they're not going to do that. If that changes, that opens up the door for a team like the Commanders, which I actually think are a good destination outside of the owner. But just look at the construction of the roster. The 49ers would clearly be a team that, even though he said he's not going to the 49ers, that would be a smart move for the Niners to do that. But when you look at the AFC and you want to talk about pressure to go get that guy, Miami, I think, could go back to Tua. The Jets, I think they're going to go elsewhere. I think they would love to get Rodgers, but I don't know how much Rodgers is dying to go to the New York Jets. And I'm looking at all these teams because the Jets just feel like they need a game manager. Because if they had a game manager last year, they absolutely would be in the playoffs. The Raiders got a lot of work to do. You need a franchise difference maker. And say what you want about Rodgers, and I know he's come up short a lot of times in the big game. He still won a Super Bowl. He's still a top 10 quarterback of all time. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer. Even at his age, he is still a difference maker in the NFL. And I'm going to put the most pressure out of all the teams in the AFC to go acquire the services of Aaron Rodgers on the shoulders of the Las Vegas Raiders. And right now, if I had to sit here today and predict where he's going, I do think it's going to be the Raiders. Like we talked about this yesterday. My predictions right now, when you look at the quarterbacks that could be available, you know Jimmy G's available, you know Carr's available, and I do believe Rodgers is going to get traded. I think Rodgers going to the Raiders. I think Derek Carr is going to wind up in New Orleans. Even though they didn't find a way to get a deal done for Carr, it made no sense to want to accept the trade. I do think Carr is going to land up in New Orleans in a division that is right there for the taking. And I think the Jets, remember Robert Saleh knows Jimmy G? I think Robert Saleh is trying to build what the 49ers have in what is a really good roster. And then you plug in a quarterback now. That's a risky formula. And for the 49ers, they've gone really far, but they haven't won a Super Bowl yet. But I think with someone like Jimmy G, if he could just stay healthy, he's right away a massive upgrade compared to what the Jets had last year with Zach Wilson and even Mike White, who when given an opportunity, did play well. So where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing football next year? Even though this conversation, you could get really just fed up about it because it never ends in all this speculation. And I know Rodgers is about to enter his darkness retreat, whatever that means. I've never heard of that until the other day. Honestly, when I'm sitting here looking at the other side of the glass right now, I think Nick Theodora, our producer for today, may even be participating in a darkness retreat right now because I know Nick usually works from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, and there's been many late nights where I've been here at CBS Sports Radio years ago where we've worked together, and the producers, since it's really dark outside, they like to basically turn off the lights on the other side of the glass. I could barely even see Nick Theodora right now.
I usually keep it a little bit darker, actually, so this is pretty light. Because we have a fader here. I have it faded all the way up on the, but. Yeah,
I could barely see you right now.
Normally, when I'll turn it up for a little bit if you want to see me.
No, it's fine. I don't think I need to see your mug, honestly.
So that's perfect.
Is Rodgers there with you right now, participating in this darkness retreat?
No, I don't think he is, actually. Okay. But I think where he's going, it's going to be a lot darker.
Now, he would never do this. I guess the only media member that he would bring with him is McAfee. But it would be very funny. And I know you want to disconnect from the outside world when you participate in one of these things, so this is why he would never do it. But it would be great if, like, Rodgers brought McAfee with him. And you don't have to give us live updates, but McAfee was able to document everything and then eventually share what was going on in this darkness retreat.
You need, like, those surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
But with the darkness light on, so you can obviously see what he's doing.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It would be wonderful if we could just put a webcam up there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, like, record some of it.
Like, no, there's no way.
There's no lights.
No.
Who says that you can't record?
The camera's going to die.
Well, you'll get some good footage.
I don't know if there's power allowed on this. You got to eat and do other things, so I guess you got to have some power, but I don't know what the specifics are of this darkness retreat because I've never heard of them. Like last year, I had no clue what a Pancha Karma cleanse was. And then I was actually hearing Maggie talk about it. And I go, oh, that's what that is? Okay, that's something I'll never do in my life. Exactly. And now this year, a darkness retreat, I'm sorry.
You would never do this either.
No.
Is there a specific amount of money somebody could pay you?
Oh, sure. I could be bought. Okay, so. But on my own accord doing this? Absolutely not.
What's like the minimum you think you would do it for?
Well, I have to ask in a high starting price range. How many days?
A week.
A week? Do I have to take vacation days here?
No.
No? No vacation days? Okay, so I'm still getting paid here. I would say for a week on a darkness retreat, I'll start off, I need $75,000.
That's not bad. Honestly, I wouldn't take anything less than $100,000, I think.
Oh, come on. You're telling me if I offered you $20,000 to just go dark for a week.
No, honestly, I would go insane. I would even be, like, hesitant to do it for the $100,000.
Is your social life really that crazy, Nick?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were Mr. Party Animal USA.
No, remember I told you this past summer I was at a Bad Bunny concert. You're surprised.
Oh, yeah.
That? Yeah. You'd be completely surprised, honestly.
There's a different side of Nick Theodora.
There's a different side of Nick Theodora.
Yeah. You don't come off that way, if I'm being honest with you. You seem very calm, very reserved. I would not expect you. You're right. I would not expect you at a Bad Bunny concert.
I fool a lot of people, honestly.
You do. You're sneaky. what's the movie? It was Mr. Deeds, where a guy's like, I like to change your socks, Mr. Deeds. I'm very sneaky.
Very, very sneaky, sir.
Yeah, you're very, very sneaky. You're the butler in Mr. Deeds. You have a whole different life. All righty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. If I'm killing Nick, by the way, for not taking like $25,000, you know my price of $75,000 is very, very flexible. So if someone wants to pay me to, I don't know, go somewhere for a week and not be heard from, hey, I'm good. $25,000, I'll do. That's fine. We went from $75,000 to $25,000. Now you know why I hired an agent, because if I'm negotiating things, I went from $75,000 to $25,000 in like the matter of a minute. All right, we'll take a break when we come on back. We know the five head coaches that have now been hired in new jobs around the NFL. with the Texans, with the Colts, also the Denver Broncos, and you had the Arizona Cardinals. So those jobs filling on up, the five that were there. We will give our reactions and what those five teams need to do when we return on the other side, when you look at the Cardinals, Colts, Broncos, Texans, and then also the Carolina Panthers. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, back in five.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So the five jobs we know are officially filled in the NFL. I told you yesterday, outside of Sean Payton and then also D'Amico Ryans, these jobs don't really elicit much, and the hires don't really elicit much of a positive reaction from me. Denver did what they needed to do. They needed to go get the best candidate on the market. D'Amico Ryans is the hot name on either the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, whatever coordinator was, he was the guy with the best resume. So I look at that move for Sean. It's all about coming in and holding Russell Wilson accountable. I like right away that he did it in a creative way, not in the press conference, but in the breakout portion of those conversations with reporters, and basically saying, yeah, like, we're not going to have all these outside people that aren't associated with the team in the locker room, basically saying, Russ, what you did last year isn't going to fly this year. So I look at that relationship. If Sean, not that he's the best coach in the league, but he's one of the best coaches in the league, if he can't fix Russell Wilson, then I don't think there's many other coaches that could. Like, that's how good of a resume, that's how good of a background, and how much clout Sean does have in the league. Now, with D'Amico Ryans, there's a lot of players that need to be drafted and need to be brought in to improve the talent on the roster of the Houston Texans. We all know that. But Brian Daboll, who did not have a lot of talent, walked in year number one to the Giants and was able to really implement his culture and his coaching style to get those players to play and perform better than what they are. So for D'Amico Ryans, my only concern is just, how do you transition? I think he was a tremendous leader as a player, right? Mufasa when he's with the Texans, and then also towards the end with the Philadelphia Eagles. But how many times do we see a guy, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, oh, he's the next great coach in the league, and then they flop? I don't think that's going to happen with D'Amico Ryans, but you always wonder what that transition is going to look like. For the other three jobs, Steichen going to the Colts, it's all about getting your quarterback. And I don't know how he'll be as a leader of men, but he did a really good job with Jalen Hurts the last year or two in Philadelphia. I got to see, though, Steichen get his young quarterback, and he's sitting in there at four. You know, Jim Irsay even basically just spilled the beans yesterday saying, oh, yeah, that Alabama quarterback's looking pretty good. So maybe the Colts stay at four, or they're aggressive, they move up and try to get that number one overall pick that the Chicago Bears do have now, and it probably behooved the Bears to fall back in the draft since they do have Justin Fields. For Jonathan Gannon, his biggest thing, and I don't know how he'll be as a head coach. I know people are like, all right, how do you hire a coach that had that bad of a Super Bowl? You don't hire a coach or elect to pass up on a coach based off of one game. Jonathan Gannon did a really good job with the Philadelphia Eagles this past year as their defensive coordinator, and we were all salivating over this Eagles defense and just giving them a lot of praise heading into the Super Bowl. They played a bad Super Bowl. Defensively, they were awful. I don't know how Gannon will be as a head coach, but his number one priority is bringing in an offensive coordinator that will be able to gel with Kyler Murray and hold Kyler Murray accountable. But Gannon also has to have that relationship with Murray, because we always thought up until this year, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray had this wonderful relationship, right? They had the same agent. It seemed like they were attached at the hip. And this year, constantly, you saw signs on the sideline that were visible for everyone to see where Murray just had no respect for his head football coach in Cliff Kingsbury, and clearly that relationship did deteriorate. And for Frank Reich, it's just, who's that next quarterback for the Panthers? Like, Frank Reich is an okay coach. He had a solid start in Indianapolis, and the last 2 years were absolutely disasters. But he's been through the constant rotating door of who are you going to get at quarterback. Now, the Panthers, they're in the top 10 with their draft pick, but just because you're in the top 10 does not mean that you're going to be able to get a quarterback. And I do think a team like the Colts is going to draft a quarterback. I do think a team, definitely the Texans, are going to draft a quarterback. Outside of that, I think Seattle will pass. I think the Lions will pass. I do think the Raiders, as I led the show, what they're going to go out there and trade for Rodgers. You have the Panthers at nine. If I'm Carolina and you fall in love with Bryce Young or you fall in love with C.J. Stroud in this draft process, I don't care where they go. You do whatever it takes to move on up. So those are just some of my thoughts and some of the first orders of business that those five coaches are going to have to do with Jonathan Gannon going to the Arizona Cardinals, Shane Steichen winding up in Indianapolis, Sean Payton winding up in Denver, D'Amico Ryans going to the Texans, and then Frank Reich landing in Carolina. Pat Boyle is here, by the way. He's doing updates today.
Hello, Zach.
Which, and don't take this in any sort of offensive way. When I know you wear many hats here around CBS Sports Radio. I'm pretty sure I've had the Pat Boyle update experience before, but I never think of you as, when I saw you today, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I was expecting you producing or you're hosting somewhere. I was not anticipating Pat Boyle to be doing the updates today, but I kind of dig it.
And for you. And for you as well.
That is true.
And rest assured, I will pronounce all the names correctly.
Oh, okay. So here we go. Pat Boyle is already starting off. Was that a shot at me or another update anchor here?
Yes. The latter. The latter.
Gotcha. I go, okay, I know Pat Boyle is like a good poker player, right? He likes to gamble a little bit. But I didn't think you were going to take a shot at me on my own show right out of the gate, which, you know me, I would have been more than fine with. If you dish it, you got to be able to take it. But yes, I don't think we'll have any, Shea Gilgeous Alexander references here.
That is correct. And no, I would not open the gates, open the floodgates and take a shot at you right away.
Nice to see you too. Yeah. How you been? So I've heard your updates actually on WFAN just driving around the city, and you do a lot of DA show references in those updates. Is this now in this time slot? And I don't care whatever way you want to go, wherever you want to drive the car and how management perceives it, that's fine by me. Is this more friendly and jovial on these updates, or are they completely different?
So yeah, the DA show references are Easter eggs that I've slipped in very subtly.
And yeah, the overtime ending, man. Yeah, I heard that was the one I was listening to.
Yes, the Canadian bacon segments that DA does on his morning show for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. No, anything I do on here, I try to keep it, buttoned up.
Prim
straight.
And proper, professional.
Exactly. There you go.
Traditional broadcaster done.
Especially in the daytime when the bosses are here.
Oh, okay. Well, they're gone
Saturday
by now.
Morning, I'll let anything fly. I'll rip whatever.
So on the weekend, it's like, hey, I'm Pat Boyle. And on the weekend, it's, or during the week, it's, I'm Pat Boyle.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
So I was actually thinking about this, and I was talking about it with Nick Theodoro, how Raj is about to go on this darkness retreat. If you could bring one person here from CBS Sports Radio in the darkness retreat, who would that be? And I asked that yesterday, and then I asked it to Nick today. I'm going to give my response. I actually think it would be you.
You would take me?
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Well, here's why. Could we maybe want to punch each other by the end of it? Yeah, that's a possibility. But you're a fun person. You're clearly a sociable person as well. And I think you would keep me entertained. Now, there would be some moments where I'm like, oh, my God, I want to play like whack-a-mole and just be like, shut up already. But I do think it would be very entertaining if, let's say, this was for five. I don't know how long Roger's darkness retreat is or whatever it's called.
I think 4 days.
Oh, it's four. Yeah, if it was 4 days, I think I could tolerate you for 4 days and have fun.
So what kind of rules and regulations? Is there any kind of entertainment, like electronics, TV, video games, any of that? Or it's just you, me, in the dark, 4 hours and nothing but chatting? Can we bring some booze? I know we'll have a good time if we have some booze.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what...
I know Rogers is bringing some kind of hallucinogenics.
Yeah, the ayahuasca.
Exactly.
I don't know necessarily what the parameters are for this. I am operating that you have no technology, that there is no power, right? And it's just basically you, your thoughts, a candle so you could see a little bit, right? I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be totally dark, and then there has got to be some food.
Yeah.
I would probably imagine. Now, I would think Roger's a little bougie here on the darkness retreat, but you never know. I think we're
Betting 101, increasing one's bankroll. Take $200, deposit it at BetUS. Watch it grow to $450. Now that is science. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me, bet for free.
Eating a lot of ramen noodles.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pizza. I don't think
I'm good with cold pizza. That's fine by me.
I don't think Rogers is breaking this retreat to like have like some Uber Eats guy or like Grubhub knock on the door. He's got to open the door into the brightness. So yeah, I think we would have to bring everything ahead of time. But yeah, no, I could do that. And I'm honored that you said. And no offense, my person I would bring because I know I'm going to get the perfect and maybe more alone time than I would want.
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Is it Mraz?
No.
Because you guys are
I wouldn't bring Mraz.
You guys are like stepbrothers, I feel like, with some of the audio clips that I hear.
No, I would want to kill him probably,
okay,
and he would also eat all the food on me. my answer would, a hint, another producer on
at
the network.
At CBS Sports, Monday through Friday producer?
Correct, yes.
Well, if it's Hickey, you're just lost, so it can't be Hickey.
It's not Hickey.
Okay, because he's too boring.
And you know it ain't Shep.
And it's not Mraz. As much as I love Shep, Shep would be tough because I think he would never stop talking. Like, I do think
it would be.
We both are very loquacious, but I do think we know, like, also at times when to shut up and just let you be with your thoughts. Producer here at CBS Sports Radio.
And really
Sports
quickly,
Radio.
Day three, day four is really maybe where you test the limits and you try to get deep into somebody's soul and like try to learn their inner secrets.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Metaphorically, Shep would be trying to be like,
too philosophical.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? On day one, like 2 hours in.
Day
like,
one.
Dude.
30 seconds in. I would say then it's Stu.
No, it's Botch. James Boccioni.
Wow. I didn't even think of Botch.
I mean, you talk about the perfect, again, if maybe more alone time than you'd want because he's so quiet. He's so nice.
But that's the problem. Is he entertaining enough?
Yes, because I feel like there's not skeletons in Botch's closet, but I feel like there's some stuff in there that's been waiting to be let out.
You get some good Amy stories, I'm sure, as well.
Like, absolutely. I'd be down to hear that.
Okay. So
James Boccioni would be my pick.
If it can't be Botch, who take me out of this. Monday through Friday host at CBS Sports Radio.
Monday through Friday host at CBS Sports Radio.
That's kind of tough.
Romy's got all the stories in the world, but he's out in L.A., so none of us really.
And also, let's be real. Rome is never going on a darkness retreat. That guy has made it and then some. I don't think he's the guy that goes on a darkness retreat. He's above the darkness
retreat. You know what? Honestly, it would probably be Perloff.
You know what? That's a great one. Because Perloff, and I've now done a few trips with Perloff, two Super Bowls, and then also a draft. Perloff is very entertaining, very interesting. And if you go with Perloff, you also bring then his best friend and traveling buddy in Sully. And Sully is maybe one of the greatest human beings I've ever met.
So it's a package deal. So you get a two for one.
Yeah. Actually, okay. I may just say bring Sully. As much as I love Perloff, just bring Sully to go on the darkness retreat. I've never... This entire convention center that we're at last week, Sully, I think, talked to every single person.
And he's not a media member? He's just Perloff's friend?
Yeah, they're very close friends. And he comes, you know, everywhere. He goes everywhere with Perloff when he goes on the road. But Sully, we went to Waste Management. We're in this tent. Every single person knew who Sully was. We on Radio Row, every single person is going. And it's not like he's asking for the conversation. People are just going up to him. And he's just like, hey, like, how you doing? And they have like 45-minute conversations.
Somebody who's got that A-plus personality.
Oh, yeah, he has that.
That's good to be around.
Yeah, he would. I actually think Sully would be a wonderful talk show host.
Does he just not, like, he's just totally out of the sports industry?
I think Sully has a nice little penny attached to his name. Let's just say that.
Okay.
No, but he's a wonderful dude. Like, maybe my favorite person on the planet these days. That's how impressed I am with Sully.
Yeah. Wow.
But you're right. That's a good one in Perloff.
Perloff's a good one. Secondary, just because I've spent so much time around him, probably DA. But I know you, again, for all the things you said, I know you and I would have a good time.
Yeah, but here's my thing. As much as I love DA, maybe a little bit too high maintenance and bougie on the darkness retreat.
Okay. I can see that. And
like
I can see
DA. He's
going
to need to bring make sure he doesn't bring the expired meat like he... He once served up his show crew, but I think he's going to need some fillets. You know, DA, he could be a little bougie.
Yeah, yeah. There's something you said about a man with a cat.
Yeah. I can't see him sleeping on, like, a cot in, like, a dark cave pretty much.
Yeah, and I feel like DA, he could snap real quick.
Yes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So the NFL season is over. And as we gear up for the offseason, right, the combine right around the corner, the NFL draft, free agency, trades, all that jazz, you had the Eagles this year exceed expectations, and then you had Kansas City, who every year it is Super Bowl or bust. And I know now people are like, oh, who was doubting the Chiefs? But if you remember the conversations in the summer, it was Kansas City may take a step back without Tyreek Hill. Like, the way that I said it was, I thought Kansas City was always going to be a tough out, but you did not have as many people as in years past, not only, like, picking them to win the division. Like, a lot of people were off that bandwagon with the Chargers and some of the other moves that have happened in that division, but there was a lot of people that weren't picking them to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. So when you start to look at pressure for next year, and that's the way I was thinking for today, right now with what we know, who's the team in the AFC and who's the team in the NFC with the most amount of pressure? And when I look at the AFC, I think it's so clear. It's the Buffalo Bills. The Bills this year, even though at times they looked like they were going to be great, ended up disappointing. Because even though their general manager, I like a lot, in Brandon Bean, would not put this title on them before the year, it was Super Bowl or bust. And I want to be careful with how I say this, because I think some people will be like, oh, well, I don't agree with this. But I really do believe that this year was the first year it was Super Bowl or bust for the Buffalo Bills. Not that the last few years you didn't think that maybe they could get the job done, but you got to remember, up until 2017, when Sean McDermott took over, they went from the 1999 regular season when they made the playoffs, they went from 2000 through the 2016 regular season, never making the playoffs one time. They're high in wins from that span. From 2000 up until 2016 was 9 wins. They had a 3-win season. Just looking at some of them, a 6-win season, back-to-back-to-back 7-win seasons before going back to 6, then 4, then it was back-to-back-to-back 6-win seasons. Like, you had some really bad years of Bills football. And then year number one, McDermott comes in, totally changed the culture with Tyrod Taylor. And they go 9-7. The year after that, they go 6-10. But then Allen started to really take over there. And you see them go 10-6, 13-3, and 11-6. But during all that, like, after the conference championship game, it was okay, could they dethrone the Chiefs? That was a thought. And they lost that game in divisional round where they had the lead with 13 seconds to go and they couldn't slam the door shut. But even though you thought they could win the Super Bowl that year, you didn't go into that year saying Super Bowl or bust. This was the first year coming off the conference championship game and the crushing loss in the divisional round where you said, okay, the Bills bringing in Von Miller, that was the missing piece. They are a Super Bowl or bust team. And Von Miller was an enormous loss for their pass rush. Their offensive line has to get better. And I think they have to either bring in a running back or make a greater commitment to running the football with someone outside of Josh Allen. Because Devin Motor Singletary has like stretches, like spurts where he could be really good, but then it's like 3-4 weeks where he doesn't show up. So those are some of the changes the Bills have to make. But for Buffalo, I don't think there's a team in the AFC heading into next year with the disappointment of last year that is under more pressure than the Bills. Because you never know how long that window is going to last. You never do. And that's a team that is in their window right now of where they could win a championship. And if you go 2 more years without winning that championship, then the flavor starts to spoil on the Buffalo Bills. So that's a team in the AFC that's under the most amount of pressure. In the NFC, now the NFC is wide open. And right now the 49ers, I don't know who's starting at quarterback for them next year. The Vikings, I don't have belief in Kirk Cousins to ever win multiple playoff games. The Eagles just got there, so if they lose next year in the playoffs, I don't think we're crushing them, but it's Dallas. Because the last 2 seasons, the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, they've had really good regular seasons. There's been, both those times, even someone that's always very pessimistic about the Cowboys and always skeptical about the Cowboys, there's been times in the regular season I'm like, wow, this Cowboys team is good. Really good. And then come playoff time, couldn't beat the 49ers a year ago. This year, you beat a team that was under 500, even though they had Tom Brady. And then everything was there for the taking up against the Niners, and your quarterback let you down. So those are the 2 teams right now, without knowing what's going down this offseason, the Cowboys and the Bills that I think are under the most pressure. Now, there's pressure in other spots. Like, you look at the AFC, I think the Chargers are under an enormous amount of pressure. Even though they made the playoffs this past year, the Broncos, to get to the postseason, under an enormous amount of pressure. But I don't look at the Broncos next year as a Super Bowl contender. I think their ceiling next year is to just get to the playoffs. Like, the Chargers, I think you got to go win a playoff game or two. And if you can do that, then maybe the expectations change for the next year. But in the NFC, outside the Cowboys, like, yeah, there's going to be pressure on Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. But the Niners, the Vikings, you could say there is pressure. I think Detroit could once again be a team that could be good and maybe they could take a next step. But the Cowboys are the team that jump out right away because of how good they've been in the regular season the last 2 years. And then not only have they failed in the postseason, but they have failed in just embarrassing fashion. Where you couldn't get the snap off 2 years ago, and then your quarterback just vomited in the big spot this past year up against the Niners in a game where everything was right there to go win it. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a timeout. When we come on back in 5 minutes, good friend of the show, Lijay Douzebal, who played in the NFL for a decade, now does a kick-ass job on Sirius XM and also CBS Sports HQ, is going to join us. Got a lot of NFL topics. We'll obviously touch on the Super Bowl, but then a bunch of big storylines for this offseason. It's all centered on the quarterbacks, right? Is Rodgers going to get traded? I think so. Where is Jimmy G going to land? Where is Derek Carr going to land? So we'll talk with Lijay Douzebal, who did play for the Jets, and I'm curious to find out who he thinks will be starting for the Jets next year. Because the Jets are one of those teams that have a solid defense. They have a really good defense. On the offense side of the ball, they have pieces. They have the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. And last year, they just got competent player, consistent play. Not even great play. Just competent, consistent play from the quarterback position. They would have been a playoff team. So who are the Jets going to go get at quarterback? Big NFL offseason storylines next. We preview it with Lijay Douzebal.